find a good product, which usually people are like, okay, maybe we can start with something cheap, we sell it very fast. Okay, this is not a good idea. When you're selling something cheap, clients are usually not happy with it. The traffic to the e-com shops in our region is coming from social media and the percentage is huge. What happens if the client buys and there is a problem? So here is, in my opinion, the most important thing. You have to be able to provide exclusively good customer support. This is the point where you are touching directly with the client.
Στο σημερινό επεισόδιο έχουμε μαζί μας τον Νίκολα Ήλτσεβ, e-commerce expert που έχει ως στόχο να εμπνεύσει την επόμενη γενιά επιχειρηματιών και επαγγελματιών του ηλεκτρονικού εμπορίου. Ο Νίκολα είναι ιδρυτής του Balkan E-commerce Summit, μια ετήσια μεγάλη διήμερη συγκέντρωση ηλεκτρονικού εμπορίου και ψηφιακού μετασχηματισμού που προσελκύει επιχειρήσεις και ηγέτες του κλάδου από περισσότερες από 15 χώρες στα Βαλκάνια και την Κεντρική Ευρώπη. Πέραν της παροχής ευκαιριών για δικτύωση, το συνέδριο διευκολύνει τις διασυνοριακές συνεργασίες που είναι απαραίτητες για επιχειρήσεις ηλεκτρονικού εμπορίου που αναζητούν νέες αγορές. Ο Νίκολα Ήλτσεβ είναι επίσης και ο ιδρυτής και πρέσβης των E-commerce Academy Awards. Επιπλέον, από το 2015, ο Νίκολα είναι ο ιδρυτής του E-commerce Academy PG, όπου διαδραματίζει καθοριστικό ρόλο στη δημιουργία και οργάνωση εκπαιδευτικών προγραμμάτων ηλεκτρονικού εμπορίου. Με ρεκόρ πάνω από 4.300 συμμετοχές σε σεμινάρια, έχει επιτύχει σημαντική διείσδυση στην αγορά του ηλεκτρονικού εμπορίου.
Do you think Bulgaria is a good country to do business in? Because here in Greece, many people go there to do business and establish a business.
What are the secrets to have a growth in e-commerce company and be at the top of the list? Hello and welcome back to another Business Talks podcast episode here in Business Review Greece Studio. Today we have a very special guest. He comes only for 2 days here in Greece from Bulgaria. We have the founder of Balkan E-commerce Summit and also the founder of the biggest academy in Bulgaria, the E-commerce Academy. And the name is Nikola Ilchev.
Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly how you pronounce my name, because I know that it's kind of difficult for you guys to pronounce my name, but you pronounce it very well.
Yeah, I know how to pronounce names through football, because I'm a football fan, so...
Okay, great.
Thank you that you are here. What are your opinion about Athens and Greece?
First of all, thank you for inviting me. I feel great here. You have a very nice studio. Athens is great. I had the chance to have a little walk last night around the center of the city. It's beautiful. I like the spirit. I like the way that all the places, the coffee shops and the restaurants are welcoming people. So Athens is one great place to be. I hope next time I'll have more time and I will enjoy more activities here.
What do you think that there are the differences between Greece and Bulgaria and other Balkan countries?
Well, there are many differences. Generally speaking, the first one when you are doing business actually is you have to understand the mentality of each market because the north you go, you have a different way of people doing business. In our region, everybody is oriented in having a nice long conversation. They're not doing business immediately after the first call. You know, this is not like, let's say, German style or Western European style where people are getting right into the conversation with the things that they have to do in terms of business. Here in our region, and I can see this in Greece as well, we have to have a long conversation about general stuff. We have to get to know each other a little bit. We have to become friends first before we go to the business topics. And I like this type of approach because for me, business is not just making some money, quick money and run away. Business is building friendship, building partnership, building community, building long-lasting partnership.
That's true. Here in Greece, we need to have a coffee for 3 hours and then we can talk about business. Would you like to tell us a bit about your background and what the E-commerce Balkan Summit is?
Yeah, I started working in the field of e-commerce 13 years ago in 2011. Actually, it was kind of funny because I'm coming from a different field. I'm an engineer by education and I come from the field of construction. During the crisis, the financial crisis between 2009 and 2011-12, I was occupied in the business of construction. We had some financial difficulties. And how I got to the e-com business is that we were running a family business. We had some financial troubles, as I said. We were running out of cash, but in the same time, we had a lot of stock in our warehouse. So I was looking to find a solution to sell this products that we have in our warehouse quickly, in a fast way. So the only way I found was through internet. During that moment, at this moment, I didn't know anything about selling online, anything about e-commerce, anything about building websites, nothing. So I went to a company to order a shop, an online shop. Actually, it was a platform where not only me, but also other companies in my situation can sell their goods quick and fast. We built the platform. We started calling, actually, the whole business idea was to call more and more companies. We started calling companies. We started sending them the domain. You can imagine that this was in a moment when we didn't have any chat platforms like Viber, WhatsApp or any other. We were sending the domain of the website via SMS. And I remember doing this from a Nokia with buttons. It was a very strange period looking at from the perspective of the time. So yeah, we established this platform. And I can easily say that this is my first e-com fail because we couldn't get enough people to put products in our platform. We went with this platform for 6-7 months. We were pushing it around to different businesses, but we never got a good amount of listings for products in it. So I decided, okay, this is not our thing. Obviously, there is a reason. This was a time when the smartphones were not as we know them today. You know, internet was not the same. The digital culture of people to look for products and buy products online was not the same. So obviously, this project was not meant to be in that that moment. But I saw that e-commerce is my thing. I made my hobby a business. My hobby is different gadgets, smartphones, tablets, and so on and so on. So this is why I made an online business with accessories for mobile devices and small consumer electronics. And from that moment on till 2018, this was my main activity. And how, if you are asking how the whole idea of e-commerce academy and then Balkan e-commerce summit came to my mind, actually at some point I got so well connected in the field of e-commerce that I wanted to gather these people from time to time and you know, have discussions on how we can be better, how we can grow our businesses, expand, for example. So in 2016, we registered the company e-commerce academy, and we did one big event in my home city Ruse. It was visited by 450 people. It was nice. Actually, it was a free event, mm-hmm. but it was nice. Ever since we are doing events, we are publishing literature, books. We have our own YouTube channel with informational and educational videos. We have a podcast. We are running the only niche e-commerce competition in Bulgaria. And yeah, Balkan e-commerce summit, which is the star of our activities.
You said that you make your hobby as a business.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the opinion that when your hobby become business, then you lose your hobby?
No. I think that it's completely the opposite, because I can tell you that from the activities that we have right now, because our main occupation right now is developing different types of events for e-commerce and digital marketing, because this is the only focus that we have, e-commerce and digital marketing. I can tell you that one of my, not exactly hobbies, but things I loved to do during my whole life was gathering people, being the organizer of the group. Even when I was a kid and in high school, for example, I was the one picking the place where the friends will gather, picking the activities that we're gonna do during the time we are together. So this became as something that I love to do as a profession and my business, and I love it.
Nice. And you said also that the first e-commerce platform that you make, it was a failure. What's your point of view when you have failed in one project? Why you choose to make another project in the same category and the same?
Two reasons. I will tell you my two reasons. First of all, I perceive the failure as a learning process. In each failure, you're learning what you did wrong, so next time you can do it better. And the second, this is the first reason. And the second reason is that after my first failure, during the process of this failure, actually I realized that the thing that I was doing is very nice, and I want to be in that field. I wanted to be in the field of e-commerce because, as I said, during the first failure, I didn't know anything about selling online, making listings. I didn't know what is a usability test. You know, with the first platform, we made it, and I start calling my friends and I said, guys, can you go through the website and just start clicking around, just checking if it's working or not, just to see if we made some mistakes. I didn't know that this thing is called usability test and that this is an unusual thing that you do when you are building such a platform, you know. So in my opinion, learning from your mistakes and also, you know, finding your thing for a long run is very important. And this is how failure becomes handy.
And of course, it's also the timing, because you said that you make the platform too early.
Yeah.
About the technology that we had.
For one reason or another, yeah, it was too early for such thing. Later on, I saw many different platforms like this for different fields. They were not exactly for construction, for different fields. But yeah, we cannot do anything about it. Sometimes we are early, sometimes we are late. You have to be very knowledgeable. Sometimes you have to have some luck to pick the right moment for something. So, but we have to live with our choices, you know, and our mistakes. Sometimes you do a mistake, but you have to move on.
I remember I had heard Jeff Bezos say that the first ever purchase of Amazon was from a guy in Bulgaria. So I think that shows that Bulgaria and maybe countries that are a bit smaller on the map, like Greece, are a bit more forward in some things. So how do you see the state of e-commerce in Bulgaria and Greece, generally in the Balkan states, compared to the rest of Europe?
Right now, our e-commerce is in a very good position. According to some researches that we receive from one of our partners, which is called eShop Barometer, this is the name of the research, we can see that the Balkans are super dynamic markets right now. And actually, the whole Western Europe and Central European businesses are looking at us because so far we were perceived as an underdeveloped markets. And now with our growth and, you know, we are getting more and more mature in terms of digital marketing and e-commerce. A lot of businesses are facing from Western and Central Europe. They're facing towards the Balkans. They're looking at us as a super interesting market. And not only Greece, Bulgaria, Romania, for example, which are part of the European Union. They're also looking into countries from Western Balkans, North Macedonia, Serbia, Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina. And one day, in my opinion, this whole market will become one same playing field for e-com businesses, because even right now we have some, we are seeing some platforms working to be able to bring e-com businesses into the Western Balkans, you know, making this custom procedure easier and, you know, also the logistics of goods easier to those markets. So what I can say now is that, in my opinion, the e-commerce here in our region will grow dramatically in the following years, because a lot of businesses are coming to here. And also we are nations good with computers, good with communication. So I see bright future ahead of us.
I think that the pandemic of COVID-19 accelerated this process.
Yeah, it boosted the process with at least 5, 6, even probably 8 to 10 years ahead.
Do you see Balkans as different markets? For example, the Greek market, the Bulgarian market, the Romanian market, or as a unit?
Right now, there are some differences, and I see that people are dividing those markets. They are always saying, okay, Greek market, maybe they are having this, this, and that. Bulgarians are having this, this, and that. But in my opinion, in the couple of years, we will be more united. The communication, the logistics, and everything will go much easier. So we will be perceived as one united market where people will be, you know, we'll be able to trade goods much easier.
What do you think that must Balkans do to be like the Western European countries?
Well, we are already like the Western countries. Probably the only thing that we are different in is we are kind of price, our markets are price sensitive. It's understandable because, you know, the salaries that people here are receiving are not as big as in Western Europe. People have less money. Let's put it on the table and be honest with this. So our markets are kind of price sensitive. You can see people are going to a price comparison site so they can find the best price for each product. Sometimes the products are in, the difference in the price is only a few percentages, like 2 or 3%, but this is kind of significant for the buyer. So this is basically the main difference. Yeah, there are some technicalities like cash on delivery, for example, which actually practically didn't exist in the Western world in a few years. But we are also seeing some change in that direction as well, because what we see right now is a lot of Western countries like Germany, Austria, France, Spain, they are accepting now cash on delivery. And there is an explanation behind this. Sometimes people got tricked online. They receive not exactly the good that they ordered, or sometimes they purchase something and it never appears, and the seller is not kind of nice enough to provide the money back. So obviously they're adopting some of the things that we already have, because we don't trust nobody here. Let's be honest, we are Balkans. We are expecting to be cheated all the time.
And it's very difficult for an e-commerce company to be above the competitors, because now e-commerce market are like a red ocean.
Yeah.
So many companies there, so it's very difficult to have a growth in your company. What are the secrets to have a growth in e-commerce company and be at the top of the list?
Well, if I know all the secrets and I share them with you, you know, they won't be a secret. They won't be secrets anymore. But no, typically what we advise people when they come, and this is kind of different approach depending on if this is a traditional business that wants to go online or somebody that wants to start from zero. So let's firstly look over the case when we have a traditional business willing to go online. We have many of this probably in Greece as well. Big companies on the market for, let's say, 20, 30 years, great products, great processes inside, but they don't have any kind of online presence. In that case, what we advise usually is to start building, first of all, a team inside of the company that is taking care of all the digital presence, meaning digital presence in social media, digital communication, developing an e-commerce store, also a team that takes care of the store itself, because having a e-com shop store is kind of business inside of the business. It's a whole different game. So this is what we advise these big businesses when they want to get into the e-commerce field. Of course, they need to have an advisor about this, like a consultant that can get them through the steps of the whole process. But this is mainly how it goes. Of course, they need money, but usually big businesses, they can allocate some budget for this new venture. Well, for some some of them, it needs some time to establish this business and also get to be recognized as an online player from now on, because usually people are used to go to the physical stores and get their products. But this is, let's say, an easy transfer from the physical to the digital world. If somebody wants to start from zero, having no products, having no brand or nothing, we advise completely different things. Like, first of all, find a good product, which usually people are like, okay, maybe we can start with something cheap. We sell it very fast. Okay, this is not a good idea. When you're selling something cheap, clients are usually not happy with it. So you cannot really establish a good brand selling cheap products. So what we advise in this situation is to make a good research, find a very good product that is in help of your end customers, and start building a brand around it. Because when you have a strong brand with quality products, you can live a longer time. And also, building a brand allows you to then start diversifying into different categories. You can start with sports goods, let's say, but when you are well accepted brand and established brand and people trust you, then you can switch to, for example, kid toys or, I don't know, any other category. And we have a perfect example of this in Bulgaria. I have a friend of mine who established a business with sports goods. He was on the top of the category for like 10 years. He decided to just, as a test, open a category for kids products. And now, 3 years later, his main business is kid products. So he switched completely because he saw a bigger potential in this new category.
So if I like start an ESOP from scratch and I have a limited marketing budget, which actions do you think are the best to start building a brand? Is it maybe ads, social media, SEO? Where should the focus be when the budget is limited?
Social media for sure. And I will support my answer with some numbers. A recent research from one of our partners showed that the traffic to the e-com shops in our region is coming from social media, and the percentage is huge. 89% of the traffic is coming from social media. So obviously, when people are deciding where to shop from, their decisions are coming from social media. Their research is starting from social media. They might be seeing some advertisement on social media, or they might be seeing some influencer showing off with a product. And this is where the journey starts. Then they go to the e-com shop to buy the product. But social media is the first step. What I will suggest right now is focusing on short videos, TikTok. Mm. I'm pretty sure that we will support this opinion as well. Because this is the media that works the best right now, and we're talking in 2024. It might be something different in a year. We cannot say. It might be something different in just 6 months. We don't know. But right now, TikTok works great. We know that in Greece they already have ads. I'm right, right? They have ads, because in Bulgaria they still don't have the ads running. They will open the ads somewhere around the end of 2024. And of course, we know that there is this option now called TikTok Shop, so people can buy directly from the app, which is fantastic, which is nice. This is, yes, from the perspective of an expert in the field of e-commerce, many people will say, yeah, why you are advising that people should have their TikTok shops? Isn't it better to have everything on my own online store and, having this traffic coming to us so we can do whatever we want? We can, remarketing these people and so on and so on. Guys,
you don't have a commission.
Yeah, and not to have commission. Yeah, let's be honest here. People are in social media and they're trying to get out of the online presence with the product in their hands as quick as possible. So if we can have these products in their hands, our products in their hands, in social media, let's do so.
So do you think it's easy or difficult to build an international e-commerce platform?
In my opinion, it's kind of hard. because right now there are so many strong international platforms, and to be able to reach a huge audience is kind of expensive. You know, let's be honest here. You cannot do it overnight. You cannot do it with a limited budget. You cannot do it with just free videos having you know, something interesting. Yeah, you might get to a bigger audience with one or two videos that are going viral for a week or something like this, but this is most of the times pure luck. So if you want to go international with your e-com business, in my opinion, the first step should be going through some marketplace platforms, touching a little bit each of the markets, checking what's good for you on those markets, and then start establishing your own presence on the particular market, and then start reaching local digital agencies that can help you with your digital presence and so on and so on. There are some steps that you have to follow.
I had in my mind Temu saying all these big companies.
Well, these big companies, first of all, we don't know where their budgets are coming from, you know, and how big they are. And to be able to replicate their model, it's very hard for, you know, for a local player. In my opinion, they're different from, for them, this is different story.
I think China is like a special case in when it comes to e-commerce.
Exactly.
It's like a dark field. We don't know much about it.
Well, we see some local players coming from Turkey, coming from around the region, but they have huge investments behind their backs, huge money in their pockets. So for them, it might be easy. But when we are speaking about a local player that wants to go internationally, I always advise, please make sure that you have a strong business in your home market, so you're not replicating any problems on a new market. And then go market after market. Don't try to go like international to 10 markets for 3 months. This is insane. This needs insane budget. This needs insane efforts, and it's not for everybody.
You said before about social media and especially TikTok and short form videos. Are there any other trends in the e-com industry right now?
Well, besides social media and going internationally, I can see a huge trend in AI. Of course, AI is everywhere. I have seen some trends in using AI for personalizing experience of the customer on your webshop. Of course, AI is used to proceed huge amount of data and get results out of this data. So what I see is some platforms that are helping you make your listings better, going through different listings of your own shop and also the shops of your competitors, and giving you the best result and best listing options for you to be better in front of your customers. I also see AI tools for email communication, in terms of email to new clients, in terms of transactional emails to existing clients, and also in terms of building a loyalty program. So these solutions already exist and a lot of people are using them. And I'm pretty sure that there are many more. For example, I just recently found an AI tool that helps you in terms of customer support when you're talking on the phone. So what it does is it records, so you are basically recording all the calls, but this tool goes through all the recordings and giving you results like, okay, in 45% of the calls, the customer support didn't help the customer in this particular way. So maybe it's a good thing that you have, you know, this option for the customer and you are offering something in addition. So this is very useful for people that are running business, which receives calls and a lot of customer feedback.
What is your opinion on dropshipping?
I really don't like the word dropshipping. It's a model. Look, to be honest, this is a model. And even in the past, when we were running the business with accessories for mobile devices, our model was mixed. We had some products in stock and we used some of our partners to dropship some like it was 70% in stock and 30% dropshipping. Why I don't like the term dropshipping is because people are using it as a completely different business model. Like they're saying, okay, it's very easy. You just build a website, you order some goods in China, you send them all around.
And you become rich.
And you become rich in a week. Sure. This is not the case. So in my opinion, the right term for the dropshipping is three-way logistic. I mean, in which, of course, you have your website, you have built your brand, you are ordering the goods, but once again, you have to be sure that those goods are good quality, you have a quality provider of those goods that is packaging well, putting on all the inflates inside the package, make sure that you have a nice return policy, and if something happens, the customer will be happy. So it's not just, you know, sending goods around and getting rich in a week. This is not the case with dropshipping.
How you rate an ESOP, and which is the most important thing in ESOP to be successful?
From the perspective of our contest, for example, we have seen that there are a few crucial things for each e-commerce shop. Maybe it's a good thing to share how we are evaluating those shops. We're evaluating them in terms of SEO, technical stuff online, design, marketing, legal stuff, legal things like return policies,
GDPR, of course.
Yeah, GDPR and everything, and also customer support. From all these six, of course, they are all crucial, they are all important, but we've seen that legal and customer support are the most important, because this is the point where you're touching directly with the client. What I mean is that everybody can build a website. Okay, not everybody, but there are many, many tools that can help you build a very nice looking website. Maybe there are tools that you can pay that will build your listings. They will be nice. They will be with the key phrases and keywords that you need for your SEO. Maybe I can hire a nice digital agency that will produce my content and I will go viral. Everything, this is kind of, okay, not easy, but it's doable. But the next step is very important. What happens if the client buys and there is a problem? So here is, in my opinion, the most important thing. You have to be able to provide exclusively good customer support. Nice people answering on the phone, nice people chatting in the chat platforms. Actually, one very important thing is that you have to be everywhere. Customers now are willing to communicate with you in Viber, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, wherever. You know, they're everywhere and they're expecting you to be everywhere. So also another tool that I discovered recently, it's an AI tool that helps you being everywhere. It connects all of your channels into one single place of contact, and you can communicate with your clients everywhere. So this is, in my opinion, the most crucial thing for every e-com business, to be able to provide great, amazing customer support.
One thing I don't like about many shops from my experience is that they try to avoid human contact as much as possible. And I understand it at some point because they have too many requests. So they make a lot of frequently asked questions and they try to send you there to solve your problem. But they try to avoid speaking to a person as much as possible. And I think it's not the best, but how can an e-shop handle a very big amount of requests?
Well, you are right. I'm seeing it as well, not only in e-commerce, but any kind of industries. Yeah. They're trying to avoid the human contact. But in my opinion, it should be vice versa. It should be a human contact, because there is nothing better, in my opinion, for a person to feel another person talking to on the other side of the line and actually at least showing a feeling and understanding of the problem, because the machine or the chat platform doesn't show you understanding. It shows you, yes, thank you, now do this, now do this, do that. You know, it's probably with the AI, we will be seeing some better results in the future, but having the personal touch over everything is very crucial. How they can handle it? Some sort of a customer support center where they train some employees to be better in answering all the questions that people have, being in help. Of course, this can be done semi-automatic, semi-human resource, with human resources. When you see that there is a bigger problem, then the person can get in touch. Maybe some of the functions can be handled by some sort of a chat platform or AI or something like this. But in my opinion, the hardest cases should be handled by people, so the customer can see the human touch over the problem.
So AI and automations are game-changing for this industry. What about metaverse?
Well, I cannot predict anything there yet. We see a lot of solutions coming from different producers of these glasses and, you know, gloves and all types of stuff. In my opinion, we are still not there. Probably we will be there in, I don't know, maybe 10 years or something like this. Why I'm saying 10 years? Because I have two sons of the age of 9 and 14. The one who is 14 is mainly doing everything on his computer. When I go to his room, he already has two monitors, and one of them is always in some sort of games like Fortnite or Minecraft or something like this, which is the basic version of the metaverse. They already live there. So in my opinion, when these kids, which are now 13, 14 to 16, become 23, 24, 25, this is probably when it will be their reality, to put the glasses on and to be with their friends into the metaverse together and do some stuff together. Maybe this will be the point when they will be shopping online, you know, just going through the virtual store, just picking products. I go to many different conferences. I see a lot of companies are providing solutions where you can take a picture of a product and then you start looking it on your phone in a 3D version or something like this. But I think we still need like a decade or something to get to this point. And it will come with the new generation. It's not for us. I'm not seeing myself buying with glasses. I really want to go and touch the product and test it and see how it looks in my hands.
Maybe that's another thing that we have here in Balkans, that we want to see the products and feel them. So maybe this will help us a bit, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You said now that you are a father.
Mm-hmm.
You also have many projects and companies that you are the head of these projects. You travel a lot. You are going to summits. And now you are here in Athens. And you live in a city, not the capital city of the Bulgaria, but a smaller city next to the borders with Romania. How do you can afford all these things in your day?
It's easy. And this is actually one of the, for me, it's easy. You know, probably this is what's the reason for me to live in the fifth largest city in Bulgaria called Ruse. It's on the border with Romania. Actually, for me, Bucharest as a capital of Romania is closer than our own capital. Sofia is 300 kilometers from me and Bucharest is only 45 kilometers from Ruse. Probably this is the reason I'm living there, because living in a smaller city where you have, by the way, everything that you need, you know, this is not like a city that nobody goes to. It's still a good for living, a city which is very good for living. You know, it gives me the time not to waste in traffic, not to waste, you know, my day in activities different than being on the computer and being super productive. I have a full working day from, let's say, 8 to 5 if I want to have some meetings. Such a city is a lot easier to handle your kids. I mean, raising your kids. Also, when I'm not at home, it's very easy for my wife to take care of them, because usually, what is a funny story is that I have a friend in Sofia, Bulgaria, the capital city, who drives 1.5 hours in the morning to be able to bring his kids to school, and then 1.5 hours in the traffic in the afternoon to pick them up from school and bring them to some sports. Those are 3 hours out of his life which are lost forever. Yes, he's saying, yeah, I'm listening to some podcasts, I'm listening to some audiobooks, but this is not a quality time. And then you go back home and you have to start your day and you are already tired of 1.5 hours driving in traffic. For us, in city like Ruse, it takes only 7 minutes. After 7 minutes, you can be back on your computer and be super productive and super active. This is probably why I choose to live in Ruse. Also, it's a very nice way to raise your kids. Very calm city. No crimes, no dangerous stuff going on. So This is how I do it. This is practically my recipe.
But you don't miss changes when you are not in the capital city.
In the world we live today, I don't really see a difference. Yes, of course, I have to drive to Sofia from time to time. Every like 2-3 weeks, I have to go at least once because there are some partners that you have to see in person. Of course, in business, personal touch, like any other field of communication, of course, but personal touch and having a nice lunch or coffee with a good partner, you know, you cannot just change it with a Zoom call over the screen. But they can be reduced. And also, people are super busy. We don't go to so many physical meetings nowadays. And also with the activities that we have, when we bring people to some networking events in Sofia, it's very easy to have all of our partners in one same place for a couple of hours, exchange all the ideas, everything that we have to say to each other, and move on.
Do you think you have accomplished the work-life balance in your life?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I'm happy the way I'm living my life. So if this is the, you know, the end goal, so for everybody to be happy in his life, I accomplished this goal. I have a working business, which can be, managed remotely. I'm spending quality time with my family. Just this weekend, I played some basketball with my sons, had a nice walk with my wife. So, yeah, I can say that I accomplished this goal.
Which is your goals or the end game for you?
There is no end game and end goal for me. To be honest, I really like one book called The Endless Game of Simon Sinek. Which is very nice. It explains the idea of the difference between games that has end, like football game. It basically has some rules, 22 players, one ball, whoever scores more balls into the to the other team wins. And this is it ends in 90 minutes. For me, business life, there is no end. You know, once we finish the project Balkan e-commerce summit this year, for example, which is our biggest project right now, we will move on to the next Balkan e-commerce summit or maybe building a bigger project. I don't plan as a something that ends at some point and then what. I don't even see life like it ends at some point. In my opinion, everything will continue forever.
Do you think Bulgaria is a good country to do business in? Because here in Greece, many people go there to do business and establish a business.
In the recent years, Bulgaria made some changes that made the business atmosphere very, welcoming for a lot of companies, even from abroad. Yes, in my opinion, it's very easy. We have low taxes. We have a quality workforce. We have, if you want to establish an office, for example, in Sofia or any other cities, the rent is not very high, so you can do it. So, yeah, in my opinion, the easiest question is, yes, Bulgaria is a very nice place to do business, and it's in the heart of the Balkans. So if you want to be equally connected to, let's say, Turkey, Greece, North Macedonia, Serbia, all the Western Balkans, Romania, Hungary, in my opinion, Bulgaria is the right place to be.
Yes, of course, Bulgaria is in the center of Balkans. But do you see that the Balkan e-commerce summit will be hosted here in Athens, for example, or in other city?
We have this idea to bring Balkan e-commerce summit in different countries and different cities from 2025. Of course, after the execution of the edition in 2024, we have to sit and we have to observe all the options. We have to make a great research of venues, agencies and people that can help us in terms of preparation, in terms of execution, in terms of communication and many other things. And yeah, we can get this decision. Athens is one of the places where we are seeing it to be possible to be done. So only the time will answer this question.
For what reason some Greek will come to Balkan e-commerce summit in Sofia?
This is for me, very easy question to answer. And it's not applying only for the Greek companies and Greek entrepreneurs and digital marketing people and digital people in general. This applies to everybody from the region. First of all, it will provide everybody with great connections. We are bringing right now companies in our expo, but not only in the expo, from more than 17 countries. We focused on the Balkan region, but we already have partners from Austria, from Germany, from United Kingdom, from Spain. This is insane. This is becoming super popular, and probably the reason is the one that I told you earlier. Mm-hmm. We are becoming very interesting market for the Western Europe. Second reason, people that visit Balkan E-commerce Summit will be able to establish connections not only with companies that are providing different services, but companies that are like them, companies that are doing pretty much the same in a different market. They can get together, they can share ideas, they can share knowledge, experience, and maybe they can do some business together. Another reason is the nice speakers that we already managed to bring to the event. We have speakers from Meta, from TikTok, from Microsoft, from Geopost, from one of the largest price comparison platforms in all Central Europe, operating on 9 markets. We are expecting a final answer from Kaufland e-commerce, which is a big platform in Western Europe. Everybody from our region that wants to sell in Western Europe can use. We're expecting an answer from one of the largest Turkish marketplace platforms, which are very interested to visit the event. So this is, in my opinion, the right place to be if you want to grow your e-com business in the next years.
What is your UPS from this event? What is different or unique in comparison to other?
It brings all the major and important players on the market together, but not only from the Bulgarian, Romanian, or Greek markets, but from all of these markets together in one place. So if you are an e-commerce or digital marketing expert or doing some business in that field, you have to be there so you get to know each of these guys and become partners with them.
You have experience to organize this type of events. You are also a curator of TEDx Ruse. What do you think about the TEDx as an event?
TEDx as a format is a lot different than what we are doing in our conferences. TEDx is a very nice event that brings it has a different branding, you know. It brings a lot of interesting people together. Of course, it focuses on different topics in general. What you usually have to do when you are applying for a license from TEDx, you have to give them the topics that you want to focus. TEDx, as an event, as an organization, as you may know, it's a non-profit thing. When you are doing it, you don't have to make profit out of it. It's basically done from the community, from the community to the community. The idea is that people with time and energy do something for their communities. So this is why I applied for this license. We took this event and we started it in 2020. Actually, this was a very hard time for us to execute the very first edition because it was during COVID. We needed to postpone several times because we couldn't gather the people inside of a room because of the rules in the country. But TEDx is a very nice event, and I strongly encourage everybody that wants to do something for his community to apply for a license, to make a TEDx in their own communities, because it's not only for cities. You can apply for a university, or even if you have some small community of like 50, 60 people, you can apply for such event and you can execute it.
So TEDx is non-profit event. If you want to build a profitable event, in which revenues you must focus on?
I won't be able to answer about all the categories and all the fields of events that there exist, because where we are focused is e-commerce. And for me, it's kind of unique combination between having knowledge in e-commerce, be very well connected in the field of e-commerce with all the service providers and all the digital experts that I know because of my experience, and also having the knowledge how to organize a great event. So maybe if somebody wants to be profitable in doing an event, should be able to have such a combination of knowledge and social network for a field that he's an expert in. So maybe this is my recipe. I don't know if everybody will be able to apply it, but if such a person, you know, wants to be profitable in terms of events, I mean, this might be the solution for him.
If you didn't make an e-commerce event, in which area do you want to make an event, like startup event or business event?
Well, this is a very nice question, and I have never thought about building events outside the e-commerce area. But if I have to answer it, I will say one thing. Probably events about people being outside the digital world. Because I see this as a problem in the community. People are too obsessed with their phones, tablets, laptops, and they are living in the digital world. We already mentioned metaverse. Probably, as we said, it will happen in several decades. They will be living in the metaverse. But in my opinion, they should be having breaks from time to time. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe something like this. So if I have to do something besides e-commerce, it should be you know, some sort of a retreat that goes for a week or 2 weeks, where people do things outside the digital world. So I'm seeing it as a place where they leave their phones, tablets, computers somewhere locked in their cars or whatever, somewhere locked. They don't have access to them, and they do things that don't connect with the internet at all.
And of course, they wouldn't shop online from a e-commerce platform.
Yeah, for sure. No, well, to be honest, I don't remember if it was in 2020 or 2021, but I decided to try to get like a digital detox for a month. I throw my phone, laptop and everything. Yes, to be honest, I was checking my email every second day just to see if something urgent appears. But I was not replying on social media. I was not replying on messaging platforms anywhere. 30 days. To be honest, I felt refreshed after these 30 days. I had the time to read a lot of books. I had the time to reconnect with some friends. I had the time to spend quality hours with my family, because even if you are with your family, from time to time you are looking at this device and let's see if maybe somebody wrote something super interesting. Well, for 30 days I didn't lost much. I didn't lost any contacts. I didn't lost track of the time or the events. It was quite the same, but I felt refreshed.
That's great, but it also sounds difficult, especially if your job has to do with social media. So it's almost impossible.
Well, maybe you can plan it in advance, and you can hand over all the things that you have to do in social media to somebody, and then just go to your vacation, digital vacation.
Maybe we should try it one day.
Yeah, it's difficult, but it's nice to try it.
Yeah, I remember after I came back from my digital detox, a media in Bulgaria called me and they said, look, we have to make an interview with you. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't do something so special. I didn't go to Everest. It was just 30 days without my phone. What's the occasion? No, we have to do it because we have to understand. And they're digital media only, you know, they don't have like... So, yeah, it was nice, yeah. I received a lot of feedback. People were asking me how it was, should I do it? And yeah, if somebody has the opportunity to do it only for a week or something, they should give it a try.
Nice. So we're going to the final question. It's a question that we always made to all our guests. And the question is, what is your biggest advice or an advice that you would give to your younger self?
Probably never stops, and when you are passionate about something, just keep doing it. Even if you have hard times, even if you have fails, even if you have troubles, even if you have lack of money or wasting money and you don't see it you know, as a clear result at the end, if you are passionate about something, if you like it from your soul, just keep doing it, because at some point it will start rewarding you in probably during the way it will start rewarding you in different ways. And at some point it will become profitable and it will make you a better person.
Very nice advice. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me with you.
Thank you.
So this was an episode. Nikola Iltsev was incredible. So if you want to listen entire conversation, below in the description, we have all the links for Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our site Business Review, businessrev.gr, all in the description of the YouTube video. So if you like this video, don't forget to make a like and make a subscribe if you want to see more videos like this in the future. And of course, we want to comment something or to ask something to Nikola. And of course, till the next episode, I wish you are all well and follow your dreams.